Welcome, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very excited to welcome next to the show, Corey Webster with the Irish Heritage Center out of Milwaukee. Thanks so much for being here, Corey, and happy St. Patrick's Day to ye.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well, Maggie. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us, what is the Irish Heritage Center all about? And folks, if you've got a question for Corey or I, you'd like to share some of your family's Irish history, ancestry, culture, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hats off to Sherry and Ollie and Kimber and Mark from Prairie du Sac for already getting in on the action. But tell us, what's the Heritage Center all about?
Well, the Irish Cultural and Heritage Center has been around for about 35 years now, and we are home to some of the major players of Milwaukee Irish groups, the Shamrock Club of Wisconsin, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is one of the oldest fraternal organizations from Ireland to be in the States. We also had some dance groups. We are host to a couple of bagpipe groups in Milwaukee as well. We have a huge Irish lending library. We also have the Irish Genealogy Societies in our building. And we in the past, have done concerts and readings and such like that. So we do quite a bit. We're a big hub in the city of Milwaukee.
So the Ancient Order of the Hibernians, Corey, this is a very old group. And I have a couple of friends of the family that have been involved with the Hibernians. Can you tell, what is the name Hibernian?
Hibernian is a name that they used to call the Irish. Now, the Hibernians, what they would do is they would protect the priests so they could give mass and give communion to the Catholics versus the Protestants way back when. And it was kind of also a little slang where, like, here come the Hibernians, and they would protect everybody. So we were there to protect the priests and take care of the Irish cultural, obviously, in Ireland back in the long time ago.
Yeah, it sounds like the stuff of a Dan Brown novel, right? Not the Illuminati.
Yes,
it's the Hibernians.
Yes, something you definitely hear on the History Channel.
Exactly. We've got a question here from Ollie in the Northwoods, if you don't mind, Corey. Hey, Ollie, say hello to Corey. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I would like to ask Corey if he could explain a little bit about a musical instrument, and I think it might be called Ulin, but I might be wrong, that is like a bagpipe, only it's played under the arm. It's got such a wonderful sound, and I've heard it on many Irish songs, and I would like to learn a little bit more about that.
Corey, put you on the spot here for, we're doing part two on Irish music. I have a couple of things if you don't, but feel free to take it first, my guest.
Mr. Sure. I would say that your second guest obviously will have a little more information on that. And I'm not really sure if I heard it correctly, but if she's singing something like the bagpipes, it's the Ulian pipes. And that's played on the lap. Instead of actually hold on their shoulder, what they do is they put it on their lap and they can crush it. I know the chieftains, Paddy Mullen, he used to play that quite a bit, and it is a beautiful instrument, and it's a little softer than a bagpipe. If that's what she's talking about, that's what that does. I don't necessarily know the history of that instrument very well, but I'm sure the second guest you have on will probably know more than I would.
Yeah, it's the Ulian pipes. They do sound like bagpipes, but again, if you're in a small Irish pub, they don't blow you out of the water like your more traditional Scottish bagpipe will. Now, the Scottish bagpipe has got the wind bag, if you will, under the arm.
Yep.
The Ulian pipes, again, are played by having that part of the contraption sort of on your lap.
Made. And they can do it by their foot, or they can do it by their arm by going up and down to actually generate a pump.
Yes.
To actually get the wind in there to make it make the sound.
And you can play it while sitting, which is a wee bit tricky. You can do that with a bagpipe, but it's a little harder, I would say. Yeah. Anyways, thanks for the great question, Ollie. If you have questions or comments, 855.
One more point about that as well, Maggie, is it's obviously easier to sing when you're playing the Julian pipe because you can't really sing while you're blowing on a bagpipe. So that's where a lot of people come in with that idea.
Thank you for that. I forgot the most important point about that is that the wind isn't being generated by your lungs, which helps with the singing. I also, since we're there, I did want to mention just a couple of other things because our last guest, they're not coming up, but our last guest was an Irish musician. You often will also hear banjo in Irish music, which is Irish. There are actually different types of banjo. There's like a tenor banjo and some others. Of course, one of the most signature sounds being the Bowron, which is the big drum. Without it, you kind of, it doesn't quite sound the same. And with it, it immediately Correct. Sounds like Irish music. Of course, guitar, Yep. Irish whistle, flute, the accordion even sometimes, which I think Yep. is really cool for
accordion,
more
of, the fiddle.
Yes, of Fiddle's course.
Fiddle's also very big in there. And with the banjo and those type of instruments, it's just string instruments, which again, you know, the Irish didn't have a lot of money back then. And that's how a lot of these musicians started was let's build our own thing and make our own sound. And that's why you get some of those haunting reels and jigs that you just can't get anywhere else.
Yes. Well, let's turn a little bit to the additional elements of heritage that is Irish heritage. Can you remind everyone, Corey, what the origins of St. Patrick's Day are? It goes back quite a long, long time.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people obviously think of St. Patrick, and obviously you see it in the cards and you see it on, you know, people's t-shirts like, hey, we're the snakes. Oh, St. Patrick took care of them. That's not necessarily true. Basically, where that came from is St. Patrick was British, came to the Irish Isles and taught them Catholicism. And when they did that, he used obviously the shamrock to show the three symbols of the Holy Trinity. And when the snakes came in, is that was him driving out the evil of other religion, if you will, to have people realize that you shouldn't be a pagan, you should be a Catholic. And that's where kind of the snakes came in, because it was just like the Garden of Eden. Let's get rid of the snake because he made him eat the apple. And there we are.
So metaphoric.
That's a lot where St. Patrick comes from.
Yes, metaphoric. And one of the interesting things, when I was in college, I traveled extensively around Ireland, which was back in the, let's see, I would have been there in 97. So it was still during, you know, there was still some tension and there was still some sporadic violence. But the thing I thought was super interesting is I was actually there on St. Patrick's Day. And in Ireland, everybody goes to church and that's it. It's not the American, like, let's dye a river green and have green beer type of thing.
Absolutely.
So it's much more of a religious observance in Ireland than here.
Yes, everybody used to ask me when I was, you know, younger, and they'd say, oh, what do you do in Ireland when, you know, what would your family have done? I'm like, well, they would have went to church.
Church.
And then they would have had a nice meal at home, and that usually was where the stew would come from. They'd have stew or they have cod dinner. And then afterwards, the men would go to the pub and kind of, you know, enjoy their holy day off by having a pint or two.
Yes.
And then obviously the common people would come in and have their instruments, and they'd do a little free-for-all there, if you will. And that's where that came from. I know a lot of people here are like, oh, it's all day. We start at 6 in the morning. Unfortunately, some people are done by 7 in the morning, and
yes,
we know who they are. and I always tell people it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, choose yourself wisely and be responsible while you're out there. But yes, for years, Ireland was nothing like that. But then when people, like you said, would go there from America to Ireland, they're like, well, geez, where's the green hats and the beer and the this and the that? And Ireland, obviously, cashing on some of their tourism, said, well, we need to start doing it. Now they have huge parades as well, and they do a lot of the gallantry and pageantry, if you will, of doing the St. Patrick's Day. But yeah, early on, it was just, we went to church, you had a nice meal with the family, and then maybe you went to the pub for a little bit, and that was about it.
Yeah, very different. Now, the tradition of celebrating St. Patrick's Day in the United States is very old. In fact, older even than the year that most people attribute to sort of the beginnings of our country. The first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in Boston in 1737. I'm going to say that right. again, like right. 1737. There was enough Irish folk in Boston to be like, we should get together and have a parade. And of course, the very notable New York City St. Patrick's Day parade started in 1762. Today, there's over 150 various St. Patrick's Day parades happening either on the weekend or on the day of throughout the country. Have you been to one of the big ones, Corey, like Boston, New York, Chicago?
I have been. My wife and I have both been to Chicago for their parade, and that is it's unbelievable. And it's nice to see. And I will say this, though, I've never seen more T-shirts, sweatshirts given away from politicians and and trades. It's a totally different vibe than our Milwaukee one. Our Milwaukee one is very nice. It's large, but it's, you know, it's got politicians in it. But Chicago's almost like the last one we went to was almost 3 hours long.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that was when George Bush was being the marshal. And of course, he couldn't walk. So that was a big standstill for that. But yeah, I have been to their parades, and it's a wonderful sight. And it's amazing. Like I said, there's only 300,000 in Wisconsin that claim Irish ancestry, but when you go to today, everybody's Irish.
Of course, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and of course here in Wisconsin, also during Irish Fest, everybody's Irish for that. We are going to spend the next, starting at the top of the hour, everybody, sharing some of the stories. I'll share a bit about my Irish genealogy that I've learned from my mom, some of my travels in Ireland. I have actually never been to the Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade, but I have been to New York's when I lived there, Corey. And that it was stinking huge. And I remember very distinctly the Irish, basically like band / marshals from the NYPD. Mm-hmm. They had like their own like bagpipe group with drums. It was pretty mind blowing. Now the other St. Patrick's Day parade I've been to in and around Chicago was I went to one in Beverly, and Beverly is on the south side of Chicago. And if you don't know Beverly, because you're either not Irish or not Irish from Chicago, Beverly is this very near Chicago small suburb. But it basically used to be almost an exclusively Irish ethnic neighborhood, like many of the neighborhoods here in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And in many...
Milwaukee used to have the Third Ward. So the Third Ward was majority of Irish back in the 1800s and 1900s.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, is that the primary area of the city where Irish people tended to settle? And where else did Irish folk tend to move when they came to the Midwest, Corey? Obviously, well, Chicago.
Sure. No, they came to Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, up north as much as Trapelo County, and Milwaukee, obviously. And the Third Ward was something where they went. And it's like the old sign. They're going to have, obviously, the people say it never happened, but, you know, help wanted, no Irish need apply.
Yes.
There were so many immigrants at one point that they just didn't know where to have jobs. So that's where you got your fire and your police, because those were jobs that needed to be done and nobody wanted them at that time. So that's what they did. And that's why you had such a huge unit of like FDNY. They have their own pipe band. Milwaukee Fire and Police have their own Greater Fire and Police Bagpipe Band. A lot of these were in there because they had pride and they had a job. It was important to the community. They were giving back to their community, and they were found that they were actually needed, wanted, and respected. And that helps anybody. And when you talk about that sort of thing, everything's, well, what do you mean? That could never happen. Well, that's how it happened. I mean, it just was so many immigrants coming in, and you just didn't know what to do, and they just had to find jobs to keep their family. And it's something that they could do. It was also a fraternal organization where you had so many of your own kind, if you will, that they could take it and run with it and be what they wanted to be.
Folks, we're going to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back with Corey Webster. He's from the Irish Heritage Center here in Milwaukee. We'll talk more about what brought the Irish to the United States in the first place, all on this special St. Patrick's Day episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. The good luck and stories of Irish in Wisconsin continue after these brief messages.